All right, good morning.
Good
morning. If you're opening your Bible, you can open up to Philippians 1. We're going to do a little bit of a review, but I did want to say, Bryce, just so you know, I have a very good friend of mine who is a Christian and a police officer. So it is possible to do it. It's not always easy, but it is possible to be both. And we just pray that God would strengthen you as you go to the academy. So this morning we're going to be starting part one of this section that Paul's going to get into that's talking about unity. And I titled it, We Are In This Together, because we are. This is something that church is something we do together. This is not about Ken. This is not about the elders. It is about us as a group. And that needs to be the focus. And we'll be talking about that as we go along. This way. So this is from last week. This is a review just to look at this very briefly. But part of it was, if Christ is all, have we resolved to involve him in our life, in all the different aspects of our life? And shared a story with you about following the king. And see what happens. If you wanted an adventure-filled life, follow the king. Follow Jesus and see what happens. See where he takes you. And Paul, as we've been talking about, he was in jail when he wrote this letter. And as he was doing that, obviously that is not where you want to be, but that is where he was. And God was using that. So there was a part of him who was like, do I give up? Or do I stay the course? And God impressed on his heart that he should stay the course, that he should stay, that he should remain, and it would be there to their benefit that he be there. And that encouraged others to get into sharing the gospel and encouraged others to believe. It strengthened their faith. And he was like, God wants me to be here for you. And so we're moving into this next part, but I wanted to read this before we go on, just again with context, to have that, and then we'll take a look at this next part. But we're going to be looking at these verses from the end of verse 18 to 26 first. It says this, but not only that, I will rejoice more so of what Christ has done and proclaiming him. Verse 19 says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with that, with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And again, this is just that part. What is he choosing to do? And he says, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your pride in Christ Jesus may be abundant because of me by coming to you again. So just, again, some of the things that are going on, we've been talking about just the purpose of why Paul wrote this letter was to encourage them in their faith. And it was also to deal with an issue. We haven't gotten to that issue yet, but he keeps kind of building a case for this, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But so far, Paul's been writing to express his love and his joy for this church. And that is one of the things that we don't always talk about with Paul, but his love for people. He had a very, very tender heart toward people. Sometimes, you know, everybody sees him a little more cut and dry, and maybe he was in some of the other things he wrote, but he had a very tender heart toward people and toward their growing in Christ. He also wanted to let them know about his imprisonment opportunities and to proclaim the gospel, and that hopefully one day he would be able to join them again. We don't actually know if he ever got a chance to do that. And then over these next couple weeks, we'll be spending a little bit more time with this challenge to uphold a Christian testimony and witness boldly to an unbelieving world. And so we'll spend some time with that. But if you would, let's spend a moment in prayer. Just get focused as we start to get to work on this next section. So Father, I just thank you for this time that we get to be together, that we get to look into your word, and we get to be challenged by it. Help us, Lord, to fix those things that need to be fixed with your help. Help us to recognize those things that need to change. May we also rejoice in what you are doing and what you have done. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, which is always true. I pray that our desire would be to follow you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So hopefully you can see a little bit of this picture that I have up here. This is a actual divided church. So if you can see it, so this is a church that when it was built, it was essentially a rest stop that was made back in the 1400s. So a long time ago, a group of people made this a rest stop. So this is a Roman road that is in Austria. And they built this, again, as a rest stop. But what's interesting is that the pastor would be on one side of the building. And so at some point, they built something that would be around him. Well, he felt bad for the people who were out in the rain or out in the elements of some way. So they built another part. But because of the road and because of the slope on the other side, it had to be split. So what's interesting is there are times, because it's still there, it's in St. Maria in Carinthia in Austria. And at times when a pastor is preaching on the one side, congregations on the other side, he has to actually stop because there's a car going through. Not an issue back when he probably originally built this, but it became an issue. But it actually is still there. Now, it's a divided church, but this is kind of funny because it's, you know, that's not what we're really getting into. We're talking about unity, and we're talking about sometimes how division, something that, again, opinions change, whatever it may be, can become something that becomes a stumbling block for a church. And churches can become divided over simple things. Sometimes they're over bigger things, but sometimes they're not always that big. So today, our principle for today is going to be from this section, verses 27 to 30. I'm already thinking of next week. But basically, we are in this together. And when we face various challenges in life, our strength comes not just from Christ, his love, his mercy, but also from the love we share with each other. And again, we are truly in this together. So again, as we look at this, I think it's neat that, you know, God's providence, we're taking communion as well today. We're getting to send Bryce off. We're doing things. We had the hymn sing last night. Just some things that you get to do together to promote unity, to promote, encourage people in their faith. It also helps us, especially as we take communion, it helps us to remember the bigger picture. So what I'd like to do as we go into this, can just read some of these, couple of these verses, and we'll talk about them. Look at verse 27. It says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and this too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer on his behalf, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me." So today we're going to be talking a little bit about division, but I also want to be talking about unity. So one of the things that's interesting is that Paul, and you can understand where the Philippians might feel that there's a problem, there might be some division because their leader is in jail. And these small things can become a problem. My opinion can become something that stands in the way of progress. A wise man once said to me, actually said it a number of times, but opinions are like armpits. Everyone's got them, and sometimes they stink. And we need to be aware that sometimes what we think is not always what's best, but an opinion, we have to be careful with our opinions. Another thing is change. Anybody like change? No, probably not, or very, very few of us. Sometimes change is good, and we've talked about that before, but a lot of times it can be difficult because it causes stress. So if you think about it, New Buffalo has gone through a big change. You have had a big change over the past year and a half plus. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, wow, I could potentially be a problem. I'm part of the change. I would hope I would not cause division, but if you think about it, from what I've seen and heard about Pastor Doug, I'm not him, and I know I'm not Pastor Pete. I like him, and he and I are similar in some ways, but I'm still not Pastor Pete, or any of the other earlier pastors. Glenn and I are going to go visit a pastor. I've never met him before, but I'm probably not him. Or maybe it's the leadership. You know, that's one that's always fun. Leadership can sometimes be how something was done, how, you know, what was done or not done. Sometimes we can fight about those things. And what that does is it causes us to miss what we really should be fighting for. We'll see that in a moment. But even with these different things, and again, we're people, so we're going to have our opinions. We're going to have to deal with change. We're going to have to deal with not always getting things done the way we want. But we are called to unity in Christ. So no matter what's happening, that unity in Christ needs to be there. And as we've been going through this, we're just getting through the end of chapter 1. So Paul has been building a case very tactfully, very slowly. He's dealing with who we are in Christ, all that we have in Christ, the unity we should have in Christ. No matter what the circumstances are, that should not sway us to be away from Christ. And yet part of the reason for doing this is because of the conflict there is between these two women, And we don't, again, we don't even get there to chapter 4. But he's slowly building this case about who we are and what we should be doing. And keeping our eyes focused on him in the bigger picture. So one of the things that is interesting, and again, expressing his love for his people, especially the Philippians, he is, again, taking it slow and easing into this. If you've ever read 1 Corinthians, he doesn't do that so much. He's very direct. He's very matter of fact and gets to the heart of the problem a lot quicker, 1 Corinthians and really 2 Corinthians. But just like each person is a little bit different, each church is a little bit different. So there's a difference between Philippi, Galatia, and Corinth. They're different. How you deal with them is a little bit different. But as one of the things that is important, Paul wants us to know, whatever happens to him, the Philippians are to continue conducting themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. So I was thinking about that. What does that mean? What does it mean to conduct yourself in a way that is worthy of the gospel? And I was, thinking about it, answering the question really is simple, but it's profound. And what I mean by that, it really is going to affect your entire life. Because part of it has to do with, very simply, remember you are a citizen of God's empire. Now, usually we say kingdom, but for those people back then, the Philippians, they were a Roman colony, and as a citizen of Rome, they were very aware of that Roman citizenship, and it was extremely important. So how would a good citizen of Rome be consistently pleasing to the emperor? And it really is kind of simple. It's consistently following the rules that they set out. Paul takes that example and he says, how are you to be a worthy citizen of the colony of heaven? Think about that. And again, it's simple. And it really just all it is just simply being consistent in what it means to share the gospel, be a part of the gospel. The gospel tells us that Jesus did for us that we could not do for ourselves. And that means that to be saved, one has to be utterly dependent on him. To be a good citizen of his kingdom simply means we need to continually be dependent on Christ. It's simple, in a sense. But it's what he wants us to do. He wants us to remember that we are citizens of his. We are adopted children of his. Again, all the things that we are in him is so important to remember. You ever get angry or depressed or frustrated or find yourself whining at different times? Somebody laughed. Now, sometimes that's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. But if we're consistently have that attitude, one of those attitudes or all of those attitudes, that really doesn't promote the good news. I mean, if God is all he says he is, does that really promote God, let alone the church? Julie, I think you said it well this morning, because this part is, we were in our Sunday school class. But, we're not programmed, and it really is, I was trying to think of how to say this, but it's like, we're not part of a cult. We don't have those smiles that people do and they think they, you know, just smile through everything and everything's fine and everything about life is fine and God's, I don't know. There's something disingenuous with that. But there's a time to grieve. There's a time to recognize those difficult times. But do we, on the other side, do we find that basic satisfaction in God? Does that dominate our life? Does that characteristic dominate our life? Or again, are we always complaining or angry? You know, again, even Paul is writing this letter in prison, and one of the things that comes out in this letter is this theme of joy that underlies the whole thing. There can be joy no matter what the circumstances are. One of the things he also wants us to remember is we have a message that is greater than any other. We have the gospel. We have the good news. One of the things that I think is interesting, if you've ever seen Amistad, and if you ever get a chance to see that, there's one part where they show the Christians, and the Christians are very dreary and downtrodden and solemn is basically, I think that would probably sum it up. And one of the guys who is looking at the pictures of the Bible and what Christ has done, and he's going, why are they that way when he's done this? It's just one of those interesting truths that comes out. What is our life like? Do we remember whose we are and the message we have that we know, that we've accepted? But in that, we get to stand together defending and promoting the faith. And this is that opportunity to share the truth. This is opportunity to see people get saved, to see people change for the better, to bring glory and honor to Christ. See, when people see what we have, that can cause them to want what we have. Does that make sense? Division, on the other hand, promotes chaos. And it promotes a lot of what the world seems to have. You go to work, there's trouble, there's difficulties, there's chaos. You go, you know, you look at the government, you look at all different things, and you go, why would I want to come to church and get more of that? So part of it is we are defensively standing firm together. We need to stand firm together. And I think this is extremely important, and this section will continue that thought into next week. So there's a defensive standing. It's an active stance. We are ready to stand for the truth. Offensively, we withstand together. The word could be contend, or actually to fight together. And this is interesting because part of what Paul is getting at, because if you look at the verses in there, he talks about it's going to be for their destruction and they'll know it. It's, you know, that's not for a person. It's actually towards Satan and demons. Every time the church does what the church is supposed to do and there is a joy in worship, there is an exuberance as we get together. We like to get together. That just shows Satan and the demons that they chose the wrong direction. Satan wanted to be God. He's a created being wanting to be God. Demons are fallen angels that followed after Satan. They chose poorly. They only got one shot at it and they blew it. In the presence of God, and yet they chose a created being to follow. See, when we're following ourselves or our own way, we can get in the way of what God is doing. But instead, we get to fight together for the truth and promote God, promote the church. One of the things that, you know, you, if you look up what are the issues that churches have, sometimes it can be the color of the walls. It can be the color of the furniture. Do you keep the pews? Do you get chairs? Do you, you know, and you get into these things. And I don't know if that ever happened here, so I don't know, hopefully not. But it's one of those things that, is that really what we need to be fighting about? Again, we get into opinions versus the actual fight that we're in, which is spiritual. So again, do our opinions take up time and effort and energy from the real goal of the church? We have to be we need to be careful of that. We need to be aware that that can happen. Why? Because there are people here. We need to be aware of that. One of the parts that we're going to continue into next week is this reminder, Paul's reminder, they have been granted two wonderful privileges, which is the two wonderful privileges we have. One, we get to trust in Christ. Because of the gospel, we are part of God's empire, his kingdom. The other side of that is sometimes, and it is possible, that we may suffer for Christ. And remember, Paul is saying, this is a privilege that we could be persecuted for our faith, that we could suffer for our faith. But he also wants to remind us, as we talked about last week, those eternal values that are so important. All of this goes together. We are to draw our strength from Jesus and from one another. And again, next week we'll spend a little bit more time on that. The principle, again, for this week is when we face various challenges in life, our strength comes not just from Christ's love and mercy, but also from the love we share with each other. And we truly need each other. We need to be, as much as we are able, getting together and spending time together. Challenge for this week. One, you know, are you following the King? That's where it starts. Are you following him? And if you're a believer, are you following him on a daily basis? Is your desire to please him? Also, we have the Ministry of Reconciliation. We're going to spend a little bit of time with this when we do communion. I have a little extra time, so I'm moving through this part, and we're going to talk about reconciliation. But we need to be promoters of reconciliation. Not only reconciliation with God, but reconciliation between each other. Are we willing to suffer and toil for the King? These are things to think about. Are you a joyful person? If so, that's great. If not, why not? That's something that needs to be straightened out. And then obviously, and we'll again be spending more time with it next week, are you actively involved in promoting the church? Now, I changed it around a little bit this morning. I was like, I want to be a little more positive. So I was like, let me talk about it. Are you actively promoting the church? What I originally had up there was, are you actively involved in division? So whichever one works for you, I went with the positive one, but if you are involved in division, it needs to stop. It is not good for the church at all. It is not good for the gospel at all. And we can lose our focus on what is most important. So we're in this together. This is part one. We'll get into a little bit more. We'll look at the bigger church picture next week about what is what that means. But if you would, don't lose focus. We're not going home yet. Hang in there. I want to talk about reconciliation because that is extremely important, as we are ambassadors for Christ in the message of reconciliation. So Paul, if you would come up and we will